I've always been enchanted by the many myths that are found among people from all around the world, whether they involve gnomes and fairies in lush forests, or knights and princesses in towering castles. I never seem to get tired of imagining what the many civilizations of antiquity must have been like that have come and gone through the ages, especially the ones that we are never told about, except in legends. I'm especially fascinated by the tales that concern the possibility of kingdoms that exist inside of the earth, subterranean worlds right beneath our feet. And while modern academia considers these fanciful myths and legends to be nothing more than child's play, I still choose to play, as they haven't stopped me from entertaining the possibility that there could be more to our history than we're being told by the experts, especially since I have personally taken a look behind the curtain and found that the so-called experts aren't really as expert as they would like us to believe, especially in this post-World War II era. The possibility that the earth contains massive subterranean caverns, or is at least partially hollow, and that these regions are accessible through hidden passages, and that ancient secret breakaway civilizations flourish within them, has renewed people's interest in the subject still considered by the media to be taboo. Could the earth really have entire inhabited cities underground that we're unaware of on the surface? One of the most famous hollow earth proponents was John Sims. He actively disseminated his theory of concentric spheres and polar voids until he died in 1829. In a pamphlet, Sims candidly wrote, and I quote, "I declare that the earth is hollow and habitable within, containing a number of solid concentric spheres, one within the other, and that it is open at the poles 12 to 16 degrees, and I am ready to explore the hollow," end quote. He pledged his life to promoting his notion and toured the U.S. with a handmade wooden globe that opened out to reveal its secret internal layers. People were receptive to his ideas and his following grew. His supporters began petitioning the government to finance his efforts to explore the Earth's interior. On March 7, 1822, Senator Richard Thompson presented a case to Congress for Sims to be supplied with, quote, "the equipment of two vessels of 250 to 300 tons for the expedition and the granting of such other aid as government may deem requisite," end quote. During the debate, it was suggested that the Committee for Foreign Relations become involved, as the trip may well bring Sims and his crew into contact with new races of interior people. But the motion failed. Seven further bills were presented to the House, but not one of them succeeded. Sims spent the rest of his life lecturing and lobbying for action. In May 1829, Sims died, totally convinced up until the end that the greatest discovery in the history of mankind had eluded his grasp. William Richard Bradshaw was an Irish-born American author, editor, and lecturer who is best known for his novel, The Goddess of Advaitabhar. His novel used Simsian geography from the ideas of John Sims to describe a utopian civilization living inside the earth. In the story, a war breaks out amongst the people of Advaitabhar when the subterranean goddess falls in love with a man from the surface world. Following the conflict, contact is established with the surface world and trade relations are opened. It was published in 1892 and featured an illustration of the inner Earth. In the Popol Vuh, an ancient Guatemalan manuscript whose title means collection of written leaves and which has been described as the great storehouse of Mayan and Central American legend and mythical history, there is much talk of a land in the east on the shores of the sea. This description neatly fits Plato's position of Atlantis. The Popol Vuh proclaims that it was from this land that the fathers of the people had come, and that they had also endured a great catastrophe, after which the land to the east disappeared. Archaeologist Harold Wilkins remarks in Mysteries of Ancient South America that there are ties between Atlantis and South America, and I quote, "One of the South American colonies of Atlantis may, probably, have been the land called Brazil, and Brazil, indeed, was actually the ancient name of the land and born thousands of years before the arrival at Rio de Janeiro of old Pedro Cabral, the Portuguese navigator, that occurred in AD 1500 and has given rise to the sheer legend that King Emmanuel of Portugal named the land Brazil because the dyewood, Brazil wood, was found there. As a matter of very curious fact, the name Brazil was known to the old Irish Celts as High Brazil." End quote. In the Hollow Earth, Dr. Raymond Bernard, an American archaeologist who now lives and continues to work in Brazil, reveals that, and I quote, "Mysterious tunnels, an enigma to archaeologists, exist in great numbers under Brazil, where they open on the surface in various places. The most famous is the Roncador Mountains of northwest Mato Grosso, to where Colonel Fawcett was heading when he was last seen." End quote. Colonel Percival Harrison Fawcett was a British archaeologist and South American explorer. Along with his eldest son, Fawcett disappeared under unknown circumstances in 1925 during an expedition to find Z, his name for a lost city, which he and others believed to be El Dorado in the uncharted jungles of Brazil. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist and author. Please check out my books available on Amazon. They make a great gift. I appreciate those who share these videos, so thank you very much. Please don't forget to subscribe. I hope to see you again soon. Now say goodbye to Buffy and stay safe.